All right, we are going to get started this afternoon. Thank you so much for coming out to the Student Life Center. I will say, first of all, I apologize for the heat out here. And if you are wearing a suit coat or a tie, I will not judge you if you take your coat off or loosen your tie a little bit. It is a little hot in here. I apologize for that. Last year, we were in the West Wing, and we were really tight. And this year, we're not as tight, but it's hot. So I'm not sure which one is better. But we thought that it would be better to be out here this year, just for you to be able to see what we were doing every night while you were in the big service, what is going on out here. We have about 300 kids on Monday night and Tuesday night last night. Looking forward to tonight as well. And these kids are sitting where you are sitting right now. And this is where we have our rallies. And this is something I look forward to every year, because these are some of the longest services in the world, I think, right now. And when you're a children's pastor, you definitely feel that out here. So we just have a great time. And we play a lot of games and have a lot of fun out here. And I thought it would be beneficial to be able to have our session out here as well, and be able to talk about a few things. Thank you so much for coming, and I'm looking forward to being able to talk about creatively communicating truth to children. And if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll read verse number 13 in a second. But when I became a children's pastor, I looked up some of the job description of what that means. And so I found a blog about, you know you're a children's pastor when. Okay, and this helped me to be able to understand the job description of what I was getting into. It tells us that you know you're a children's pastor when, in the church lobby, everyone runs when they see you coming for fear that you're going to try to recruit them for children's ministry. You're starting to have meaningful conversations with your favorite puppet. You're afraid to close your eyes when you pray. We have children's workers are taking bets on how long you will last. You plan an event for 200 and 50 show up. You plan an event for 50 and 200 show up. You know how to pray for healing for dogs, cats, and goldfish. Your church janitor won't speak to you. You once sat up in the middle of the night and screamed at the top of your lungs, "Is the big service out yet?" The last time you made it to the adult service, you tried to do the motions to Amazing Grace. Your summer begins when VBS ends. And this is my favorite one, you once gave your spouse the quiet seat prize after dinner. So I don't know if all of those things are true for everyone in this room, but I know I can relate to a lot of those. And we're so thankful for everyone who gets to influence children and gets to communicate truth to them. And very quickly in this session, I'd like to be able to talk about how we can properly communicate truth to children. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to communicate truth to children. And Lord, I pray that in these next few moments, we'd be able to discover how to better communicate truth to children and be able to learn some new ideas and be able to have some fun along the way. And Lord, I pray that you'd please help us to have a great time around your word this afternoon. Thank you for all that we've been able to experience this week. And thank you what you've done in our hearts already. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm stealing this illustration from Dr. Getch, so I knew it was a good illustration. So, this is not original with me, but at Staff Advance last year in August, we had a session where Dr. Getch specifically talked about communicating truth and handing truth to the next generation. And I thought the illustration he used was exactly what we're talking about here when we talk about communicating truth to children. He compared truth to a chocolate chip cookie. Okay, now this chocolate chip cookie is something real. Okay, it is something that exists. And there are a lot of people today who would tell you that truth does not exist. And we have this chocolate chip cookie, and it is enjoyable. The truth is enjoyable. The truth is something that we want to be able to hand off to the next generation. And there's all different ways for me to communicate to a child that this chocolate chip cookie is awesome. And we're going to talk about a few ways that we can do that. There are four methods that I have discovered on how to communicate truth to children. Three of them are methods we do not want to use. And one of them, the last one, are methods that we do want to use. But to understand the significance of this last method, we need to quickly go through what the ones that we don't want to use in our classroom and as we teach. We have this cookie here, and we want to communicate truth to children. The first method that we do not want to use is the spoon method. The spoon method. Now, there would be a lot of people who would want to use the spoon method as they're teaching children, and I will explain that in just a second. But when we look at this cookie here, you know what? This cookie is pretty good in itself, but what happens if I took a bite of this cookie and chewed it up and spit it out on this spoon and tried to give it to a kid? Do you think that kid would want to eat it? No. And the same way is with truth. Truth is something special. Truth is something that in itself, it is appealing and it's enjoyable. But some of us might be tempted to chew it up, spit it out, and have this spoon method and try to spoon feed everything to a child. Now, how do we not do that? Well, we understand that kids need to experience truth. Kids need to experience truth. Now, kids don't just need to sit in a classroom and hear about it, and kids don't just need to be able to sit and hear you talk about it and chew it up and try to feed it to them. No, kids need to experience it. We don't want the spoon method in our classes. We want to make sure that as we communicate truth to children, that they are experiencing that truth. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, we'll have dynamic children's rallies, and every night in here, we will have a rally where kids not only are sitting there and listening to the truth, but they are getting to experience it well. Every Sunday at 10 o'clock, we have, as the adult Bible classes meet, we have our rallies in the choir room and in Modular C. And the whole purpose of the rally is to have a high energy, dynamic time around God's Word where a kid can not just sit in a classroom and hear it, but be able to experience it. Well, how do we do that? In the children's rallies, I've had many ask, what is our format? How do we do our children's rallies? And up on the screen, we have our cue card, per se, of our children's rallies. And we start off with some games as everyone is coming in. And we don't want kids just sitting there. We want to keep them involved the days come in. And these don't need to be lengthy games. They don't need to be games that involve a lot of preparation. Honestly, Simon Says does a great job. Honestly, there's a game that we try when kids coming in. It's called How Long Is a Minute? Okay, and this is every kid gets to sit there, and every kid gets to stand up when they think a minute has gone by. And you'd be amazed as they sit there, and they're counting to themselves, and they're focusing, and they're looking around at everyone else. And you know what they're doing while everyone's dropping off kids? They're quiet. They're sitting down. And you know what? As a parent drops off their kid, it's a comfortable experience to drop them off. And the kids don't realize it because they're just sitting there trying to figure out how long the minute is and stand up whenever they do. And whoever is closest to a minute gets a prize. And they just love being able to play that game. And it's a calm game as everyone's coming in. And it involves all of them. We have a welcome. We have an opening video that has to do with the theme. We'll talk about that in a second. We have an opening skit. And these skits are not, there's no script, okay? It doesn't need to be a very involved skit. It's just something that links the video theme to what we're going to be talking about in our lesson. And honestly, just me and my assistant up here, Mark, just talking and just having fun and making jokes for about 2 minutes will engage them enough so that when we get into the song, they're excited about it and they're going right into it. It moves. It's quick and it doesn't need to be belabored. We have the song. We have an offering race where they collect the offering. offering, and every week is a different race, a different challenge that they do with the relay. And we have another song, a little calmer. We have our lesson, and we have our quiet sea prizes and dismissal. Now, I know it's a little different because I have only an hour, because we do ours during our Sunday school time. And I know some of us in this room may have the whole service time waiting for a big church to get out. So there are a couple things you'll need to be able to tweak and be able to be able to figure out. But this is the overall structure that we use here at Lancaster Baptist Church. The next way kids can experience truth is not only have a dynamic rally, but also games that have a purpose, games with a lesson involved in it. We have games galore. You can buy books with hundreds of games. You can Google games. I mean, there are so many ideas with games, but games need to have a purpose. And if you're trying to communicate truth to a child and you want them to experience that truth, there's a very good way of doing it is having them experience that truth through a game. Here's an example. This is my secret stash of games. Okay, I am not a game guy. I am not someone who can just come up with games on the spot. But this is my secret stash. I will go to YouTube and I will find Minute to Win It games. And all you need to do is search Minute to Win It games on YouTube, and there are probably at least 50 games on there that you can try. There's videos that go along with it. Some of them have music on it that I wouldn't play, but they're still a good idea. When some of them are good for being able to show, and we'll show that video as an introduction to that game. But as you're looking through those games, try to think, what truth can I communicate through this? How can we just make sure it's not just babysitting and entertainment time, but as they're experiencing this, how can we make sure that they are going to experience and experience that truth? Here's an example of one that we do. We went through all of the abominations in Proverbs chapter 6, okay? And it was a mystery theme, and we were talking about who is on the Lord's side, and each of those sins had a person involved, had a suspect involved. And so for each game, each suspect had a game, and the first one was Prideful Peter. And we had a string hanging over the stage, and the game on Minute to Win It was taking a nail and trying to put the head of the nail on the string and putting three of them up in a minute so that they balance. And you know what? Eventually, when we talked about how when you lift yourself up, what's going to happen? God's going to bring you down. That's as simple as it needs to be. And you know what? As those kids listen to that, and as they experience that truth, man, it's just your lesson's going to hit home so much more than chewing it up and trying to feed it to them like a kid. Now, we want to make sure they experience truth. We want to make sure that we have games with a lesson. We can talk later afterwards about even some more that we've done in the past. But that doesn't take a rocket science to look through a game on Minute to Win It and try to apply a spiritual truth to it. And being able to communicate truth through that way. Another way for kids to experience truth is through five-sense teaching. Five-sense teaching, okay? This is something I learned as I studied teaching, is when you go to Disneyland, okay? How many of you guys like Disneyland? Yes, I like Disneyland. You know why I like Disneyland? Because I get to go around and look and steal all of their ideas, okay? So I enjoy going there, and we go to Disneyland, and I look at all the different ideas. You know why a kid enjoys Disneyland so much? Is because Disneyland, it appeals to every one of their five senses. So when you walk through, you are smelling everything cooking, you are hearing the Disney music, you are riding through, you are being able to touch the buildings, you are being able to see and hear. I mean, all five senses, they're being able to taste the food there. We want to be able to have kids in church experience all five senses as they're sitting in our rally. And sometimes it's a challenge, okay? But you know what? However important your truth is, try to determine as many senses you can appeal to with that truth. Well, let's see how we can do it. Well, the easy one is sight, okay? So we have sight. That's the easy one. Object lesson. That's an easy one. We have hearing. That's an easy one, okay? We also have music playing as the kids come in to appeal to their hearing. But then it gets a little harder, okay? Touch. Well, you don't touch a kid. I tell our workers to pretend that you're on Monsters, Inc. and that you're a monster, You can't touch the kids. Now, that doesn't mean when they walk in the room, you scream and go crazy, but it means you don't touch the kids. So we don't touch the kids. But how do you appeal to touch? Well, you have games. You have what we just talked about. Them being able to tangibly put nails up on a string. Them being able to tangibly build something on the tables over here for our building challenge. Something that they can touch. Something that they can remember that's communicating that truth. Taste is easy, okay, because most of us have snacks, okay? So which one am I missing? I lost track. Smell. Ooh, that's a hard one. Most of the smells in our classrooms are not appealing, okay? But you know what? Smell is a little bit harder, but you know what? As you're trying to communicate a truth, do what Disney does, okay? You have food that smells and is appealing and has appealing smells in your classroom, and you can stretch it a little bit. I give you that this smell is the hardest one of all, but you can stretch it a little bit to try to communicate a truth. And I think we all have creative minds in here, okay? I think we can come up with some ways that we can communicate through five senses and be able to spend some time to be able to have them experience truth. Next, we have the next method we do not want to use in our classroom is the brown paper bag method, okay? So, I have truth. It looks good. Here it is. And I try to give this to a kid. Do you know what? They're not going to get really excited about it. Now, once they open it, they're going to figure out there's a cookie in there and they're going to get excited. But if I'm holding this paper bag up here and I'm trying to get kids excited about a brown paper bag, it's going to be really hard. And sometimes we have truth that is appealing and truth that is exciting and we wrap it in a brown paper bag. Forgive me. We wrap it in flannel graph. We have truth that is exciting, truth that is high energy. And sometimes we don't understand that we're putting the truth in a brown paper bag. How can we not do that? Well, we need to understand that kids need exciting truth. Kids need truth that is engaging, that is exciting, so much that a kid comes in and they're excited to be able to experience, they're excited to be able to have that truth. How do we do that? Well, number one, we have seasonal promotions. And every year we have three different promotions where kids are able to come to church and they're able to get excited about what is going on there at church. And they're able to get excited about the truth there in the church house. Our three promotions are always different. They're always with different purposes. Our New Year, our January, our winter promotion is more surrounding the vision of Lancaster Baptist Church, the vision that Pastor Chappell casts in January. And we take that vision every year and we communicate it through the eyes of a child. And I'll tell you, there's been some hard ones, okay? We had Renew last year. And I was thinking, how in the world do you communicate Renew to a kid? Well, we had a candy factory and we had a candy theme, and we said that we were trying to renew a candy factory, and the candy factory was just dilapidated the first week, and we put it up on the screen, and then by the end of the week the candy factory was renewed, and that's how we communicated that. We had Launch Out a couple years ago and we did a Gilligan's Island theme. This year we did I Will Build, and as you can see we're doing a Lego theme. Something that will help the senior pastor communicate the vision to the children that you teach. And that's the purpose of our winter campaign. Now, our winter campaign is focused a little bit more on the kids who are already in church, helping them to grow closer to the Lord as they come into the new year. We have a weekly devotional contest, and we write a devotional of 8 devotionals for them. We give them out at the beginning of the year, and they are able to get a prize if they complete one devotional a week for 8 weeks, and they get I think this year they got a Toys R Us gift card if they were able to finish this devotional. We also had magnets that we gave out to everyone who to remind them about reading their Bible and doing their devotions. We had a offering contest that we do every year that has to do with our theme, and we had a Lego party for those with a class that gave the most offering. And then the kid who was able to memorize the most verses out of Psalm 119 got 2 tickets to Legoland. So that was our promotion that we did this year. And it was all about building up the inside of the kids, making sure they build their lives on Lord Jesus Christ, renewing, launching out all of those themes, more of an in-reach promotion at the beginning of the year. In the summer, we just have a fun summer. I know a lot of people are tired during the summer. A lot of people are gone. And so we just have giveaways during the summer. There's really no spiritual application to it other than we talk about being refreshed, and we talk about being able to, this year we'll be talking about a water theme and being able to be refreshed and everything. And so just a month in July where if you come to church, you get an Otter Pop. When you come to church, you get a Capri Sun, cold Capri Sun. There's nothing worse than a warm Capri Sun. Let me just add that. You get an Icy Freezes or you get an ice cream or whatever. It's just something to keep them coming to church during the summer, something refreshing. A few years ago, we did a hot theme, and we had like hot tamales and stuff. That didn't work out very well in 100 degree weather. So we try to do something refreshing. And then during the fall, we have a outreach program. And during the fall, pastor always leads the church in an open house program, be able to knock doors and be able to reach our community. And so the kids go along with this. This year, our promotion for the whole church was all aboard. So that was really easy to be able to communicate to the kids with the train theme. And we had all of these special days throughout the month of September and October where if they came to church or they brought a visitor, they did something like this, they got a free prize. And then up in the classroom, every visitor that the class would bring, they would get a train car and write their name on it and put it up on the board. So some of these classes by the end, I think the winning class had about 29 visitors up on the board, and it was a long train. And it was exciting at the end of it to see how many new kids had come to church as a result of the all aboard promotion. And so the class who won that promotion got to ride in a little train around the parking lot, one of those little trains you see in the mall or something, and we rented one of those, and they got to ride the train out to the Walther Center and see that, and we just had a great time, and the kids just enjoy it. It may seem something very little to us to ride a train, but man, they were really excited about riding that train, and that really helped us. It was affordable, and it was something that helped us with this fall outreach promotion. I say all of that to make sure that we don't put truth in a brown paper bag, that we get excited about it, that we can take a vision that pastor has given to us as children's ministry workers and communicating to a kid in an exciting and an engaging way. Also, another way for them to experience exciting truth is new music. Okay, now don't get scared on me, okay? But Patch the Pirate music is new music, okay? So I get tired of singing the same songs over and over and over again. You know what? The kids do too. And you know what? We need to learn some new songs. And I love being able to go through. There's probably a Patch the Pirate song about any topic you're teaching. And you're teaching that new song. You know what their brains are thinking? And you know what? They're excited about it. And they're learning something new. And if we go back to Disneyland, one of the reasons they're so successful is because the music there is so engaging to a child. And we want to make sure that as we are communicating truth, the truth of God's word, that we are communicating with new music and with exciting music. And then lastly, an exciting truth under Kids Need Exciting Truth is visual technology. Visual technology. Gone are the days of flannel graph boards. I'm sorry, I'm trying to teach some of my teachers still that too, okay? But gone are the days of flannel graph board. I grew up on flannel graph, and it was great. I loved it. But you know what? Kids are so spoiled today when they turn on the TV that a flannel graph isn't going to cut it anymore. And all you need to do is spend a little bit of money. The church spent a little bit of money to have a screen. It doesn't need to be this big, okay? But to have a screen, we have TVs in our rally room, and to be able to hook it up. And you may think, well, I'm not a very good PowerPoint person. Anything's going to help. I mean, you can download templates. You can download pictures. I mean, whatever you can do visually with technology to communicate the truth, please do it. Please work at it. Learn how to use PowerPoint. Learn how to use Premiere and Photoshop if you're a little bit more in depth and you enjoy stuff like that. Learn stuff to be able to communicate truth visually. All of these PowerPoints that I use with PowerPoint. I don't use Photoshop. I'm not that good at it. But you know what? I have used PowerPoint for a long time, and so it's easy to do stuff like this if you just take the time to do it. And so don't just put truth in a brown paper bag, but make sure that you're communicating in an exciting way. Now there's the opposite extreme. The Chips Ahoy method. The Chips Ahoy method. I don't know how many of you get frustrated with this. You see how big that cookie is? You see how big that cookie is on the front? You know what happens when you open it? And they're hard. You know, that really frustrates me. And you know what? That is the opposite extreme. We talked about the brown paper bag method, but there's an opposite extreme. You can get a little carried away with it. And we want to make sure that we are not distracting kids from the truth. We want to make sure that we are not using the Chips Ahoy method, that a kid walks out of church and thinks, man, those games were awesome. Man, that video was awesome. All that music was awesome. And they missed the whole point of the truth. They missed the whole point of the cookie. And you know what? Don't be guilty of using a Chips Ahoy method. And we have to understand that kids need essential truth. Truth is important. We can't get distracted, and sometimes even in my life, in my ministry, it's easy to get distracted with all of the balloons and all of the lights and all of the decorations and all the PowerPoints and the games and the visuals. What the most important part is? Using all of those as a tool to communicate the cookie, to communicate the truth. Kids need essential truth. How do we guard against that? Well, we use centralized themes. Centralized themes. This is simple, this is easy, but you know what? A kid is going to grasp so much more than one particular lesson. They're going to grasp a theme. And you know what? Every year, we divide up the year and we take about 2 months to communicate a theme through our rallies. Now, obviously, we've done I Will Build. I told you before about the Who is on the Lord's Side theme, a mystery theme that we did. And we take usually about 8 weeks, sometimes give or take a few weeks, depending on the church schedule, but be able to take that and communicate the specific theme. And you know what? Some people come up to me and ask me, how do you think of these themes? Well, I try to remember what I liked when I was a kid. Do you remember back that far? Do you remember what you liked when you were a kid? Now, I like Legos. And I thought, you know what? I think the kids will get excited about Legos. You know, when I was a kid, I liked spies. And we had a spy theme. You know what? When I was a kid, I liked detectives. And we had a detective theme. You know what? We had a jungle theme. And I love jungle animals. You know what? It doesn't take a rocket science to try to figure out what a kid likes. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to figure out how to apply a spiritual truth through that theme. You know, I Will Build, Launch Out, Who is on the Lord's Side, Mission Christian for the Spies, all of these different ideas to be able to just think. And if you have kids, ask the kids, hey, what kind of theme would you enjoy? What do you think would be cool? What would you get excited about? And believe me, they'll tell you. Now, we can't do Ninja Turtles, okay? Or we can't do Frozen, but you know what I'm talking about. We have to be able to understand what a kid is going to like and communicate it through a centralized theme. Secondly, we have to have age-appropriate truths. Age-appropriate truths. We have to understand that as we're communicating this truth, that we need to put it on their level. I'm not talking about the spoon. Okay, I'm not talking about chewing it all up and spitting it out at them. I'm talking about taking that special truth and making sure that they can understand it. And using a tool, like a theme, using an object lesson, using a tool to communicate that truth. Not chewing it up, not simplifying it so much that they're just like, well, I know that already. But trying to understand the age appropriateness of your class and try to communicate. What are kids struggling with? I'll be honest, I've heard a lot of reports the last couple weeks about bullying in my Sunday school. And you know what? When I get back from traveling for the college in a few weeks, I'm going to hit that really hard. And that's something that I am going to make sure through a theme and through games and through experiencing truth and through the Word of God that I'm going to communicate that what they need, what is appropriate for their age. One of my pet peeves is sitting in a kid's class and hearing a college student preach a Dr. Goetz message to a kid. And I've heard it, okay? Alliterated all the way to, he is stretching it, okay? And I'm sitting here thinking, these kids have no idea what that means. And then he tries to take the outline and tries to be able to put it down on their level, and it just doesn't work very well. Now, I'm not bashing alliteration. I use alliteration all the time. But you know what? I always just alliterate one word. Just one word that they can remember. Or a couple words that rhyme, that they can remember. But man, you can get lost in a lot of things if you're trying to use this Chips Ahoy method. And there are so many things that the devil will use to be able to distract you from the truth and distract you of what we need to have. Thirdly, under essential truth, we need to make sure our workers and our teachers understand the philosophy of the essential truth. And we have worker training biannually for all of our workers. We have a breakfast in August. We have a banquet in January to communicate the new theme. We have monthly teachers' meetings for them to come to and learn from. We have job descriptions. We have a picture of our job descriptions up there. And we have a sign-up sheet up here on the table after the session. If you would like to come and get some of these documents emailed to you, we can do that. Just put your name and your email address, and we'll email you within the next few weeks all of these job descriptions and all this documentation, just to overly communicate it to your workers that this is important, this is essential, this is something we're not just going to use the Chips Ahoy method, we're not going to use the paper bag method, we're not going to use the spoon method, and trying to train them through all of that. Lastly, this is the method we want to use. This is the one that we want to focus on. The Ziploc method. Do you know what? When I take that cookie, it's still in the brown paper bag. Take it out of the brown paper bag. And I take this cookie and I put it in a Ziploc bag. You know what? It keeps it fresh. The kids see exactly what it is. And you know what? Kid can get excited about it. Why? Because kids need exposed truth. Kids don't need all of the hype of the Chips Ahoy method. Kids don't need the boringness of the paper bag method. Kids don't need it all chewed up for them with the spoon method. Kids need the paper bag, the Ziploc bag. They need to see it. They need to know it. And they need to see it in you. And that's what's the most important part about communicating truth to children. Very quickly, and we'll be done. With exposed truth, number one, we want to make sure that you do your research. Because if we're going to communicate truth in the right way through the Ziploc bag, we need to do our research. How do we do that? Well, last year I said the best way to understand what your kids are facing is to look at a specific award that they give out every year on Nickelodeon. Okay, it's called the Kids' Choice Awards. In 2015, the Kids' Choice Awards, and you can Google it every year to see who is the winner of this. And as you look at the Kids' Choice Awards, you can understand exactly what your child, who is sitting in that classroom, is dealing with. Exactly what they are excited about, exactly what they are struggling with, exactly what the culture is trying to push on them. We can research this. Now, very quickly, there's a few here that I can talk to you about, and I share this with our teachers as well. This year, the favorite movie was The Hunger Games, Part 1. Now, these are kids we're talking about, and this is not a board of directors getting around and deciding an award. These are kids who go online and vote about it. So this is the one that the kids have from America have said this is their favorite movie, rated PG-13 for violence and language and who knows else what. I haven't seen it. Okay, but this is what kids are struggling with. These are what kids are know. These are what they know. This is what they talk about around the lunch table. This is what they're excited about. This is so. When I saw this, this just grieved my heart. The favorite family. In quotes, I would put it in quotes, the favorite family TV show is Modern Family. And these are kids voting on this, okay? This is my favorite TV show to watch. This is what a kid would say. And I think it doesn't take someone really, really smart to look at this and look at the subtitle that this show is communicating to understand this is something you can preach against. And I tell my teachers, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I tell my teachers to be specific. I tell them, you know what, it's not bad to stand up and say you shouldn't be watching junk like this. It's not bad to stand up and say you shouldn't be listening to Justin Bieber. It's not bad to mention names to them. It's putting it, it's simplifying it. It's saying, look, don't go there. Don't listen to this. Don't watch this. And the Kids' Choice Awards helps us with understanding what they're dealing with. This is a show, their favorite reality TV show. This is a show that I have never even heard of before until I researched this. It's called Dance Moms. This is their favorite reality show, and I think it's on TLC. I haven't even heard of it. But really, as I researched this, just to figure out what it's about a bunch of girls who are in a dance studio who their moms are pushing them and pushing them to be able to be a star on the stage, and they're pushing them, and they're arguing with each other. And it's a reality show. It's exactly what you would think of when you say reality show. It has language. It has the sex appeal that they're trying to put on a little girl, and it is just amazing. When I even researched this, this is the only decent picture I could find to be able to show you, okay? It's amazing what these girls in your classroom are dealing with. This is their favorite reality show. And then this next one, this blew me away. Their favorite kid's song. Their favorite song. I have never heard this song before, and I don't want to. I looked up the lyrics, and last year I tried to share some of the lyrics to you of the favorite song last year. I can't do it this year. I can't do it publicly. It's called Bang Bang. And as I read the lyrics to this song, it is unbelievable. Every line, every word of this song, what it is communicating to these girls on how to throw themselves at guys, how to seduce guys, that's what this song is about. And it was amazing how detailed this song was on how these telling these girls how to do it. And this is first through sixth graders. And these are the kids that are sitting there in your classroom every day. And we want to make sure that we have the truth of the Word of God, and we're communicating it to them in a great way. And we have to understand, we have to do our research what they're struggling with. I am amazed. I have kids coming to me who grew up in church who are asking if there's a God. I have kids who are struggling with things that are just beyond my comprehension that you would think teenagers are struggling with. But the devil has his targets on children and understands that they're the next generation. And we need to be aware of that. And I say all of that to say, don't view it as babysitting. Don't view it as something that, oh, I'm just keeping the kids out of big church so they don't disturb church. View it as, I have a chance to communicate this truth. Very quickly, number two, and I said this already, do your research, be specific. Be specific. When you're teaching, don't be afraid to reference things like this and say, you know what, some of you kids don't know about this, which is good, so don't worry about it. But you kids who are riding the bus who know about this stuff, you need to make sure that you stay away from this sin and this trash. And you know what? Being specific, being discretionary, okay, making sure that you're not being too descriptive of it so that they don't go and Google it after you teach about it. But understanding that this is what these kids live. This is what they're talking about. This is what's popular. This is what's being thrust upon them. And being able to be specific about it. And then thirdly, give them what they need. Give them what they need. They need the truth. They don't need anything else that the world has to offer. And I've done this a few times in my rally, and I put pictures up on the screen of things that kids get excited about. And this is what they don't need. And I show them, and I loop through this as a slideshow about things that they get excited about. And you know what? When I put these pictures up on the screen, you would be amazed. And they start talking. They start getting excited. Just seeing it on the screen. Just seeing a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox 360 or a Wii U or any of this stuff on here that they get excited about. They're just so excited. But I keep telling them, that's not what you need. That's not what's going to make you happy. You know what they need? And we need to realize this if we're going to communicate truth. They need relationships. They don't need a screen. They don't need an iPad. They don't need video games. They don't need a movie. They don't need to listen to people who the people who are in Hollywood who just care about them buying their stuff. They need to have relationships. They need to have a relationship with Christ. And they need to have a relationship with real people who love them. That's why we're here. That's why we're communicating truth. Is so that we can stand in the gap for this next generation. And we can make sure that we're not using the spoon method. We're not using this paper bag method. We're not using this Chips Ahoy method. But we are using this clear-cut, exciting, fresh appeal to the truth, the timeless truth of the Word of God. When we work with kids, realize they don't need just someone to look up to. They need a relationship. They need someone who loves them. And you know what? You can give them something that Hollywood can't give them. You can give them something that any place in the whole world and Satan himself could not give them. And that's a relationship with people who love them. And I want to encourage you as children workers to make sure that you're using the clear Ziploc method. And I hope this afternoon, as we talked about a few different ideas and a few different ways to be able to communicate truth, I hope that it caused you to think. I hope it helped you to be able to think a little bit more about how you can creatively reach children. And I hope, most importantly, it solidified in your heart how important what you do every week in Sunday school is to this next generation. I'll be up here to be able to ask any questions. And we have a few minutes. I have about maybe 9 minutes or so. Are there any questions just right now? If you need to go, that's fine. Not rude if you need to go, but is there any question you think would help people publicly? RJ?
The graphics that you use, are they available online, or where do you get them from? Do you create them?
I create them on PowerPoint. Okay. So it's just learning how to do things. All of this was on PowerPoint. Yes, sir? Oh, his question was, where do I get my graphics? So the graphics I create on PowerPoint, honestly, the little background with the lines, you can Google that, and that's what I got, and I drew this with just a square and a rectangle. I mean, it's really simple, honestly. And you know what? I was planning on saying this, but we live in a culture right now that the simplified graphics are the most appealing, and you don't have to do something just amazing. If you look at the graphics here at the church, you look at graphics from Apple, things like that, people who know what they're doing, it's all very, very simple, and it's all very simplified. So you don't have to do something huge to keep their attention, to be professional about it. Yes, sir? Behavior, that's a whole nother session. Specifically, would you refer to like in a children's church setting or in a small class setting? Children's church setting. Number one, I have workers that help, okay? And the workers know that I don't want to be the bad guy. I have to be the fun, good guy, okay? So they get to be the bad guys. And they're the ones who are very active in making sure they're sitting down. And honestly, most kids, you just tell them to sit down, they're going to sit down. If they don't obey and they're being really disruptive, I usually have them sit over in the back. Very simple to just exclude them from everybody else. If they don't do that, we had one kid on Monday night who said he wasn't going to move. He just called his parents. We have the phone numbers of every parent. And you know what? What is really exciting is that when you get the parent involved, it works. And you know what? You earn their respect like that when you talk to mom and dad. And I understand with a bus situation, I understand that's harder. When I did bus ministry, sometimes you just got to reach the point that they can't ride the bus anymore. And hopefully they'll learn from that. So that's kind of a short version of discipline. But yes, ma'am? When I'm in a deep situation like that, her question was, what happens when the parents tell them to do something that they know that is disrupting and the parents are behind them instead of me? Honestly, I've suspended a few kids from Sunday school this year, and I don't do it permanently. Two weeks, you're going to sit with your parents in church, and we're not going to do it. And the parent may get a little upset about that, but I look at it like this. I have the responsibility to take care of all of these kids, and I have one who's getting out of hand. That's ruining it for everybody else. And I love that kid, and I communicate it to him, and I'll take him to lunch or something. I'll really invest my life into him. But for those 2 weeks, he can't be in there, or she can't be in there. Oh, all of that. Okay, so if they're letting them listen to the stuff that we talked about, every kid has to reach the point where they have to have the principles in their heart instead of what their parents are giving them. And most of the time, there's no clash. But there might be a few times where a parent says, yeah, you can watch that. Yeah, watch this with me. And you have to prepare the kids to say, hey, whatever happens, do what's right. Doesn't matter what anybody says, do what God says. And you know what? It's going to take a lot. That's hard. That is really hard. It's going to take a lot of reinforcing. But that's why I mentioned relationships, because that's going to make all the difference in their life. Taking them to lunch and buying them a present or giving them a piece of candy. All of those things mean so much. Involving them with everybody else. Not excluding them if they're from a rougher home or something. All of that helps so much. Let's see here. 5 more minutes. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
How do you handle the quiet prizes?
The what?
Quiet prizes.
The quiet prizes. Okay. How do you handle the quiet prizes on here? I have workers who are looking. I'm a little different. I can't look for quiet kids and teach at the same time. So I have workers who I assign at the beginning who say, Brother so-and-so is looking for that kid who is sitting up straight, sitting down silently, sitting and smiling. Those are our 3 rules. And so we're looking for those kids who are doing that, and they have the responsibility at the end of the rally to give that prize to them. And most of the kids get excited about it. And it's sometimes it's just a lollipop that's in the shape of the theme that we have. Sometimes it's maybe like a magnifying glass for a theme. Just little things from Oriental Trading that can really get them excited. Don't buy the random bag of things from Oriental Trading. Just get something specific that has to do with the theme that they're going to get excited about. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a computer. You know what, with 3-year-old girls, if you have something that you set up, a laptop, those girls, I know your class, so you only have a few there. Those girls can rally around that laptop, and you can show them something exciting if you need to. Preschool is a little different. I don't think a screen is as necessary with a preschooler because they still get excited about the little things. Elementary, they're like, if there's not a screen, I'm not listening, right? So hopefully that helped. Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, does that get, so you give it to all the class kids, or they just pick out one?
Just one. Mm-hmm. So there's one a week. There's one girl and one boy. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a lot of kids, so I'll have 2 boys and 2 girls, but if I had 100 or so, I would do 1 boy and 1 girl. So, yes, sir?
We have a 10-year-old bus kid. What do you guys can say? Parents not around, grandma, you may not be able to get up with the parents. You just got to talk to the parents first, or just let the Holy Spirit guide you.
So, leading a bus kid to the Lord.
Yeah.
This is my personal philosophy, would be if it's a bus kid, I'm going to lead him to the Lord right away. If it's a church kid, I'm going to be very, very sensitive to that. I'm going through building blocks on tonight's, the nightly services, and the first one was salvation, and we didn't even touch that. I just said, if you don't know if you're going to heaven, talk to your parents after the service. So it's a little bit different, but a bus kid, oh yeah, right away. Right away, I would get them saved. So, yeah, because that's going to make such a difference with what we talked about. Anybody else? Any other questions? All right, I will be up here. If you need anything, please sign up if you want any of those job descriptions for nursery workers and workers. And thank you so much for coming. Have a great day.